How do you do? Character is what you are when no one else is looking, what you do when no one else will know. The man in this story was respectful of authority around others, but privately, he did what he wanted and worried about the consequences later. The trouble is, someone else was always looking. Someone else always knew, as he discovered when his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Proclaiming the good news through true life stories of real people, this is Unshackled, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. It isn't easy to overcome a lifetime of bad attitudes and destructive habits, but it is possible. And that's why the motto at Pacific Garden Mission is, never give up on them. Street people who come to the mission receive food, clothing, and a safe place to sleep, also medical and dental treatment if needed, and all without charge, thanks to the generosity of friends and listeners who give sacrificially. More important than meeting physical needs, however, is the spiritual need for salvation, forgiveness for the past, and hope for the future. Only one person can do that, and he never gives up on them either. Pastors and counselors introduce the homeless to the one for whom all things are possible, as this story shows. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2569 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Oh, I'm glad Billy finally went to sleep back there. I just don't know how to handle him, Tom.
He doesn't seem unruly to me.
You don't know him. He's always getting in trouble.
At seven?
You wouldn't believe the times I've opened my door to some irate person saying Billy did this or Billy did that.
Like what?
Like the time he and Jim were throwing rocks at cars. One angry motorist followed them home.
Well, I hope you spanked them.
They were punished. Another time, they saw a lot of paper hanging on a tree and decided it would be fun to light the paper and watch it burn. Someone called the police. And the boys tried to lie and say they didn't do it. But the cops put them in the cruiser anyway. And then they smelled smoke. One of Billy's shoelaces was still smoldering.
Caught in a lie, huh? Susan, we can't tolerate lying, honey.
I know. Billy's hyperactive, though. He takes these pills, but they don't seem to help.
Oh, give me that bottle.
Why did you throw it out the window? Billy needs that.
All he needs is some good discipline and lots of love.
The man in our story was that troubled young boy, and his new stepfather wasn't wrong. Children do need discipline, but they have other needs, too. They need love and good examples to follow. Mostly, they need a new nature, one that knows right from wrong and has the strength to choose right. This is the true story of Bill Reeves and how all that came about right now on Unshackled.
I never knew my real father. Mother's third husband adopted me, but her fourth husband is the one who cared about me. I was seven when he took us to Ohio and threw out my pills along the way. I tried their patience many times, but they never put me back on medication, for which I'm grateful. When I was 12, Dad brought home a go-kart, and one night, about midnight, my younger brother Jim and I snuck out and rode it down the hill. The police called Dad, who came and got us.
If you boys have so much energy that you're up at midnight, that you could just push that go-kart all the way home.
But it's more than 2 miles, Dad.
Shouldn't bother you.
And it's uphill.
So what? You'll have energy left over, and we'll find some other work for you to do at home.
Aw, come on, Dad.
If you can go out and play when you should be sleeping, then you can just do some work around the house. And if you can't find any work, then you can just exercise the rest of the night. I'll stay up and make sure that you do it.
Dad didn't know that we had broken into an empty root beer stand looking for something to drink that night, or he'd have really punished us. Another time I broke into an empty house in the neighborhood. I found a bag of rare coins and a rifle in the attic. When the paper boy came by, I shot his bag of papers with the rifle because I thought he was a bully. I took a few of the coins at a time to a man at the corner store. who got wise and called the police.
How could you do that, Billy?
That house has been empty for a long time, Mom. Who cares?
You know it's illegal to break into a house, and it's burglary to take something like those coins.
What were you thinking of?
I didn't mean anything, Bida. I was just curious.
Do you know how much trouble you can get into? This is serious.
You could end up in a detention center, son.
If you keep going this way, you'll end up in prison for the rest of your life.
Every time I got in trouble like that, I longed to go back to Reed's, the man I thought was my father. I thought that things would be better if I lived with him. My brother Jim had a surprise for me.
You asleep, Billy?
Nah.
You don't have to go to jail, do you?
Nah, I don't think so. I have to go to court, though.
I just wondered. I heard him talking, and I just wondered.
I mean, what's the big deal, anyway? It was just some dumb coins. All I got was a couple of dollars for them.
Yeah.
Man, I wish I could go back to Illinois and live with my real dad.
How come?
Well, I'd like it better, that's all.
He's not a real dad.
How do you know that, Jim?
He told me once. He adopted us.
Well, who is our real dad?
I don't know.
I don't believe you.
But then I started thinking about Reeves. How he always seemed distant toward me. After the divorce, he insisted on keeping the little ones, but let me go and live with my mother. I decided to ask Mom.
Jim's right. You were 3 and he was 2 when you were adopted.
No wonder I don't remember. I always thought that he was my real father.
Well, you were too little to understand.
Well, how come you never told me? I mean, I had a right to know.
Well, what difference does it make?
Well, it makes a big difference to me.
Tom loves you, Billy. He's more of a father than anyone.
Yeah, well, I wonder what else isn't real.
Don't think about it.
Now I know why he didn't want to keep me when you split up. He never did care for me.
Yes, he cared for you, Billy.
Well, I want to know who my real father is.
Well, his name is John Cantrell. His family is wealthy, but I haven't seen him since the divorce.
Well, where does he live?
You don't need to know. It's not important.
Knowing my real father began to loom as the missing piece of my life, especially when I got in trouble. Surely he would love me, accept me as no one else could. I harassed my mother until she gave me his phone number, and I called. I explained that I didn't want anything, just wanted to know if he was my real father. He laughed and then hung up.
What happened, Billy?
Nothing.
What did he say?
Nothing, so I hung up.
I tried to tell you.
I'm going out.
Billy!
My attitude went from bad to worse. I was only 15 and I didn't have a driver's license, but I had to get away. So I ran away with an 18-year-old girl in her car.
Where should we go, Bill?
How about Virginia Beach? I've heard they have great beaches.
You got any money?
Not much. Do you?
Nope. How do we get gas?
We'll stop at stations that are really busy and hope that they don't notice when we drive off.
We have to eat too, you know.
Yeah, we'll think of something.
After 8 days of skipping out on our gas and food bills, I was getting paranoid. When a police car turned on its lights behind me, I put the pedal to the floor, and the chase was on. And soon there were 8 patrol cars behind me racing down Atlantic Boulevard at 90 miles an hour. I lost control of the car, and I leaned into the passenger side as we headed for a telephone pole. Hi, Mom. It's me.
Oh, Billy, where are you?
I'm in Virginia Beach. I crashed my friend's car, but I'm all right.
What happened?
Well, a bunch of police cars were chasing me, and when I tried to turn, the tires blew.
Billy, everyone's been looking for you. They think you kidnapped that girl.
Oh, you kidnapped? We just ran away, that's all.
Well, nobody knew anything. Reporters have been hounding us.
Yeah, well, it turned out the policeman just wanted to tell me to turn on my lights.
Oh, Billy, where are you calling from now?
I'm in a juvenile detention center.
Well, at least you're safe there.
Yeah. Mom, the car crashed into a telephone pole that went right through the driver's side. If I hadn't leaned over at the last minute, I would have been killed.
I stayed in the detention center for 3 months. While there, I went to a church service just to get out of my cell. I sat in the back and I tried to read comic books, but I couldn't concentrate because of the testimony I heard. A young man was speaking, and it was obvious something special had happened to him.
I used to be a drug addict, and a drunkard, and a liar, and a thief. Alcohol and drug use caused me to lose so much weight that I almost lost my life. One night I drank so much I woke up in the gutter, wallowing in my own vomit. I was completely alone. So-called friends don't stick around when you're down and out. But Jesus sent a man to help me up and out of the gutter. This man told me about Jesus' love for me and God's provision for a new life. I learned that he loves you when nobody else does. When you're lying in the gutter and the world has turned its back, he's there. God loves us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us so we could have a new life. I received Jesus as my Savior, and now I have a new life, a new beginning. He wants to do the same thing for you.
My heart was moved by his words. I wanted that kind of change in my life. So when he invited us to come down front and pray, I went. I was tired of my failures and all the troubles I'd caused.
But trouble was far from over for Bill, as we'll hear in just a moment. We'd like to share some letters from listeners that brighten our day, like this one that said, 5 years ago, I was an alcoholic working the midnight shift in the delivery business. I listened to Unshackled and cried every time. Your program changed my life. I now pastor a small church in Chillicothe. And Bethany, who is almost 6 years old, writes to say, please do not go off the air. I love you. From Riverside, California, this man writes, thank God for the radio station that brings us Unshackled. I love to listen to it. It sure helps me to build up my faith and walk closer to God. And this college student in Florida writes, a year ago I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart after listening to one of your programs. Unshackled is a tool used by God to bring people to him. Now, we'd love to hear from you, too, to know how these true testimonies affect your life. So please write soon. The address is simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
I went forward, and a woman there showed me verses from the book of Romans in the Bible. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. She explained how I could accept what Jesus did on the cross to pay for my sin. I couldn't reject such a wonderful gift, so I prayed with her. Afterward, I called my mom.
Are you still in that detention center, Billy?
Yes, I went to a church service that was held in the center.
Oh, that's good.
They gave me a little Bible to read.
Oh?
Mom, I trusted Christ as my Savior.
Oh, that's good, Billy. I always thought you'd be the religious one.
I don't know about that, but I feel like a load of bricks was lifted off my shoulders. I had done some really bad things in my 15 years of life. Knowing that Jesus made a complete sacrifice for what I did was like getting a fresh start in life. I had good intentions when I went back home, and my folks would have done anything to help me succeed. One day, Dad took me out for a drive, and we stopped at a park. I thought I was in trouble until he put his arm around me, and I saw the tears running down his face.
You put us through the worst fears a parent can have, Bill.
Yeah, I can see that now, Dad.
We didn't know where you were or what you'd done. Stories in the newspaper said you'd kidnapped that girl.
But it was her idea as much as mine to run away.
Well, things get so blown out of proportion. If you'd only called and told us where you were, son.
I'm sorry, Dad.
It was easy to believe the stories were true because of all the other scrapes you'd been in over the years.
Yeah, I want to do better, Dad. I know I've made a mess of my life.
I don't know what to do with you, son. I'm at the end of my rope. I want you to have a better life.
Well, I'm going to start going to church, Dad.
That's good, son. I love you so much.
I was truly remorseful for putting my parents through agony, but I had no practical help on how to live a victorious Christian life, and I didn't read my Bible. I went to church sporadically when there was a youth activity, but found others just like me. So I thought the answer wasn't there. I dove into high school activities, choir, football, and parties, and soon began drinking with my buddies. My parents grew increasingly frustrated with my rebellion and disobedience.
Billy, we saw you climbing out that window.
Yeah, I didn't think you'd let me explain.
Your friend's parents called us last night and said you were both drunk when they came home.
We were not. They're exaggerating.
No, stop lying, Billy. I don't know what I'm going to do with you. I'm sick of all the trouble.
I am no different from any other kid my age.
It's one scrape after another, and I'm tired of dealing with it.
Well, I'm tired of listening to you.
Billy! Oh, Tom. What are we going to do about him?
We'll figure something out, Susan.
My disobedience at home drove my parents to the breaking point. My rebelliousness was more than they could take. In the middle of my senior year, Dad called me aside.
Bill, we're moving to Colorado.
Wow, great. I've always wanted to go to Colorado. I'll learn how to ski.
You misunderstood me, son. We're going to Colorado. You're not going.
Well, what am I supposed to do?
You seem to do whatever you want, son. You have to get a job or something, some place to live. We'll be leaving in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah, I've always wanted to live on my own anyway. I pretended not to feel the rejection of being kicked out of the family. I had to drop out of school and get a job. I worked hard and I got an apartment that I filled with whatever I wanted. I bought a motorcycle, a waterbed with stereo headboard, a pickup truck, and a big gun collection. Money and things can be a substitute for love for a while, but they were not the answer. I was lonely and frustrated. The manager of the pizza place where I worked was a godly man who took an interest in me.
Get your car fixed yet, Bill?
No, I didn't have insurance yet. Who could have known that I would be hit as soon as I got my car from the body shop?
Yeah, did the lady have insurance?
No.
Sometimes life is a real test, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm flunking.
No, don't be discouraged, Bill. The Lord will help you if you turn to Him. Besides, the furnace has to be hot to purify gold.
Gold, huh? All I see is clay. Hey, do you want me to lock up?
Yeah, sure. You know, the potter isn't finished with you yet, Bill. Remember that. He has a plan for your life, and I'll see you tomorrow.
I was convicted by his words, but wouldn't obey God's leading. I had needs that seemed more important, mostly financial needs, so I doctored the books and stole money. One night I used the company car and accidentally tore it up underneath. I should have faced it like a man.
Do you know how the car was damaged, Bill?
No, it was okay last time I saw it.
Who drove it last?
The new guy.
He left before I did last night. You locked up, remember?
Yeah, I did. Maybe somebody drove it after I left.
The keys are still here. The only person who had access to the car was you, Bill. I'm disappointed you wouldn't tell me the truth. I could deal with an accident, but I can't deal with lying. You're fired.
Disgusted with myself and everyone else, I got drunk and took one of my favorite guns, jumped on my motorcycle, and went looking for trouble. I robbed a couple parked alone in a car. The next morning, I was horrified to find someone's purse and a wallet and some jewelry on my bed. The guilt was just too much for me. So 4 weeks later, after agonizing days and nights, I turned myself into the police. But my story didn't match the couple's because the woman was married and didn't want the truth revealed. But eventually the police arrested me and I sat in the county jail for 6 months waiting to turn 18 to be tried as an adult. God had other plans for me.
Hi there, young man. God sent me here to see you. What can I do for you?
Pray for me. I got myself into a real mess.
Would you like a Bible to read?
Yeah, sure.
Son, let me ask you, are you saved?
Well, I thought I was, but I've not been obedient to God. I'm so ashamed of how I've lived since I asked Him to save me.
Do you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead?
Well, yes.
That's good. Have you ever invited Christ into your heart and life?
Yeah, 2 years ago. A woman showed me verses in Romans, and then I prayed. I was better for a while, but it didn't last. Maybe God doesn't want me.
Don't ever believe that lie from Satan. God's not willing that any should perish. Let me show you something. After you hear the word of truth and believe in Christ, chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 13 says, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. God puts his Holy Spirit in those who trust in Christ. And he promises never to leave you or forsake you. That's a seal that can't be broken.
Well, then why do I keep doing bad things? I really wanted to make something of my life.
Listen to me. You need to read your Bible every day and pray to him about everything. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Read the Bible and obey God. You grow as you make godly choices. If you try to ignore him, you'll be miserable.
Yeah, that's for sure. I've come to see that Jesus is the only one who ever lived a perfect life.
That's true.
You know, I'd better follow someone who did it right.
Let me pray with you before I go.
When my trial came up, I pled guilty and was sentenced to 3 to 15 years in prison. It was then that I began living my life for God. But it was far from easy in a rough world of a state prison. The inmates hollered, "Fresh meat," as I arrived. I was 18 and scared. But I turned to the Bible and to God for help. I didn't try to contact my family at all during my imprisonment. There were no church services during my stay, and after 2 years, I was moved to an honor dorm, and from there to a prison farm. In 1988, I was paroled to a halfway house in Youngstown. I got a job in a neighboring town where 2 girls noted for their faith were also employed. One of them was Jill. I told her about my imprisonment.
How did you end up here in Youngstown?
I don't know. I had everything arranged to go to Cleveland to work with a Christian group there, but they sent me here instead.
That was the Lord's plan. He wanted you here.
You know, I think you're right.
Was it hard to follow the Lord in prison, Bill?
Yeah. All I had was my Bible, and there was no chapel service.
Not even any Bible study?
No, nothing formal. I read the Bible through twice while I was there, and I witnessed as much as I knew how, but there was no one there to help me.
Except the Holy Spirit.
You know what was exciting? God used me to see 20 or 30 men make professions of faith in Christ while I was there.
That's wonderful, Bill. Maybe you should go into ministry.
Not with my record.
Do a study sometime of the kind of man God used throughout the Bible. Might surprise you.
Maybe I'll go to Bible college.
Why don't you come to church with us on Sunday?
No, I can't leave the halfway house except to go to work. Well, not until August.
Promise me you'll visit our church then.
Okay, only if you go with me.
I'll be gone. I start teaching at a Christian school in Michigan this fall.
Jill left in July, but on August 14th, 1988, at the age of 21, I walked into a Bible teaching church for the first time in my life. Jill's father was preaching.
Dear heart, God makes no mistakes. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You can trust him with your life after death. You can trust him with your life now. If you need to trust him with your eternity, do so today. If you need to trust him with more of your life now, yielding more of yourself to him and his will, do so today.
I sat there amazed to hear God's word preached in a way that I understood. I was half an hour late, so he preached an extra 15 minutes just for me. I learned that my family had moved back to Canton, and they all came to visit me, but I had no relatives in the immediate area, so Jill's family treated me just like one of their own. A few weeks later, I called her in Michigan.
I'm so glad to hear you're growing in the Lord, Bill.
Your family's been great. I love spending time with them.
They feel the same way. Dad said you're growing by leaps and bounds.
God lets you grow as fast as you want to. Or maybe as much as you obey. I can't believe how much there is to learn and how much fun it is after you get over the shock of realizing how stupid you've been.
You're right. You never stop growing and learning. Just when you think God has opened your eyes to some new insight, there's another one, even better.
You know what, Jill? Sometimes I get a crazy idea that I should be a preacher.
What's so crazy about that?
I don't know. Maybe it's just me, you know, an ego trip.
Or maybe it's God nudging you. Talk to my dad.
I will.
And talk to God. He gives you the desires of your heart.
Well, that's my life verse.
Really? Oh, that's mine too. Psalm 37, verse 4.
Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart.
Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass.
God said yes, and so did Jill. A few months before we were married, I took my stepdad to a father-son banquet where he prayed to receive Christ. Shortly after that, I also led my younger brother to the Lord. Jill and I were married in February 1990, and I attended Bible college for 4 years. Now we have 4 children, and I am the assistant pastor of a church in Georgia. I am ashamed of my past, but I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek.
Listening friend, are you ashamed of your past? Perhaps, like Bill, you need a new nature, one that knows right from wrong and follows the good. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, to set the captives free, and to give us abundant life. There's nothing you can do to earn this abundant life. It's available only through Christ, and it's yours for the asking. If you need help in this crucial decision, you're invited to get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago is area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. We all know people who are struggling with problems. Tell them about this program, when and how to listen. And please take a moment to thank the manager of this station for bringing you Unshackled. This is program number 2569. Heard in the true story of Bill Reeves were Dale Ingram, Mickey Hurd, Chuck McLennan, Peter Zinn, Helen Cutting, and David Mink. Original music, Ralph Coburn. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script, Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Write today. We look forward to hearing from you. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. That's area 312-922-1462.